Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, once the person presents, it is with honor that I accept, and it is my pleasure that this energy was capable of coming by, stopping, and enriching you and I with wisdom, understanding, as they open up to us and explore their journey in life. And you and I have the opportunity to receive those wisdom so that you and I can become better human spirits while we occupy this beautiful space that is called Earth, because we are going to change form at some point in time. But while we're here, we have these sages that come by and impart us wisdom. And it is my honor to have Laura come by and to spend time with us. Thank you so much for coming by Threads of Enlightenment.
You're welcome. I'm really excited to be here.
Excellent. Tell the people everything. I know you got a laundry list, and I want you to say your laundry list to them as to the things that you create, because my people know that I believe that you and I are all creators. So talk to us. Tell us about this wonderful creation that you have.
Okay. Well, the first thing I like to work with people on is intuitive decision making and learning how to access and rely on their intuition. So I see this as three pieces, and that is, the first piece is knowing yourself. And this means that you understand how your intuition works and you understand your reactions to things, so that, because those types of things, like when you have an emotional reaction, it's sort of blocking that core center knowingness that you have. So you can do a lot of things to know yourself, self-help, astrology, readings and things like that. But my favorite thing is cardology, which is the astrology and numerology of the playing cards, also known as the cards of destiny. And you have a card for your birthday, which you can look up on my website. That card has a hand. So all of those phrases that we have in the English language of the cards you were dealt, the hand that you're playing, all of that is actually a real thing that you can dive into to learn more about yourself. So that's the first facet, is knowing yourself. And then the second piece to this is clearing your energy. So I had mentioned those emotions that come up, or, you know, when you're trying to make an important decision and you're caught up in making pro-con lists and kind of stressing yourself out and trying to think of all the possibilities. If you can get centered, get quiet, and settle into your inner knowing, it's a lot easier to make that decision from that cleared energy place. And that can be in the moment, but it also means, you know, exercising and taking care of your body and taking care of your mental state and that kind of thing. And then the final piece is actually just practicing using your intuition. And it goes as far for me as, I would call it, to me, everyone has psychic abilities. So to me, intuition and psychic abilities are kind of interchangeable. But that third piece is practicing using those abilities. And I have trainings that take you through processes where you can learn how to use those abilities. And then, like I mentioned, you have the cards. You can look up your cards. You can look up your compatibility. So one card has a relationship to another card, and there are set energies between those two people, those two cards. And those are the energies that you're, it's like they're the container of your relationship. So they're what you're dealing with no matter what. It's like those are just set and you have to learn how to manage them. And so we have reports for that. And then I also am taking a trip this fall to walk the Camino de Santiago in Spain. And I had, when I was in my early 20s, I did the hostel thing, but now I just, I like to stay in nicer places. And so this is not the same kind of backpacking that you might've heard about when you walk the Camino. You're not trying to find a place to stay every night. We're taking away all of those stresses of sort of like the physical stresses, the stress of trying to figure out where you're staying, and you're just walking. And we do 5 days of walking, and we're going to walk into the town of Santiago, where you get to the final spot where the pilgrims go. You go to the church, and it's a really powerful way to tune into your inner wisdom, a really powerful way to kind of collect yourself if you've been going through something difficult, or it's a really powerful way to, if you know you're about ready to make a life change or there's some change on the table. And I find that for the Camino, people are called when it's their time to go. So that is happening in September, and I'm really excited about it. I did it in 2018 and it was life-changing. Okay, what else do I have on my system? I do have sessions. I do intuitive sessions with people. I combine using the cards with intuition to answer questions that you might have that you're trying to bust through. But for me, the bottom line of all of this is that learning how to trust your own guidance. And I know for your listeners, what you talk about with the cage that we get put in right when we're born, and the programming that we have from our parents. It's, you have all this stuff, all these things that you've learned, and it's really hard to sort through it to get to what really is important and true to you. And so that's what I like to work with people on the most.
That is awesome. That is a mouthful. That's a lot of information. And I love that stuff because, in other words, guys, what she's saying, she has tools that are available to help you to become the best you possible on this planet. So, but, what we're going to do is go back as usual. We love talking about the story. As I mentioned to you on the onset, that once we are born, we are creators and we have the input of two different personalities that are inputting into this individual, different belief systems in most cases, and all of that is coming from a traumatized, skewed vision. Then we have all the society and all the other places that come into our lives to add to that mix of information. So talk to me about when you got home after your mom and dad kissed you and brought you into and dropped you, as I said, dropped you into this cage, that they began to program you and I from that place because, as I mentioned, and I tell people, they start limiting us from that place. So controlling us, you can only manage around here. And then when you come out of there, you got to, the cage that they use for society is normal. And that is the, I call that the invisible fence that they use to make sure that you and I stay within the certain sphere and we don't go beyond normal, because that's for bad people. So talk to me about your situation, about your family and their life, and how was your situation when you were growing up with your family?
Well, I grew up in the Midwest in a small town that my dad had grown up in, that my grandmother had grown up in. And my dad's a family physician, mm-hmm. and he is retired now. He's doing teledoc stuff. But he wanted to go back to that town and be a physician in that town and support that small town. Yeah. So my parents are still married, but my mom she kind of had different jobs. The main job that she had when I was growing up was the director of the community foundation. So raising money for scholarships and mm-hmm. improving the buildings and things in the town and building parks. But when I was 2.5, I had my first set of twin sisters that were born. Mm-hmm. And one of those twins has Down syndrome. Mm. So I think at that moment, I kind of became like a supporter, a parent supporter. Yeah. It was like, I was in this role of, okay, they can't really deal with me because this is a lot. And so I just told myself, okay, I have to be good. I can't cause any problems. I've got to help. And that was sort of the role I took on at 2.5.
Wow.
And then again at 9, I was 9 years old when my second set of twin sisters were born. and they're all fraternal, but it was like another layer of that. I'm like the third parent. In fact, one of the younger twins even said that to me once. She's like, "I want mommy." And then my mom went over there and she's like, "No, the other mommy." So I was just so much wow. responsibility from such a young age, as is typical with the oldest child of that many children. I grew up Catholic, but even as a kid, I just didn't think any of it made any sense. I thought they were talking about two different gods, the one that would love you no matter what, and the other one that would send you to hell for not doing this checklist of things that you weren't supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. I hated going to confession. I had to make things up. I was like, well, I guess I lied to my mom. I'm sure I must have lied to my mom. So I'd go in there and just like say that, because I thought, oh, I have to have something. Yeah. I'm a bad person because I'm human. So, you know, and so it was a lot of contradicting information. And I always felt closer to God when I was outside, like closer to source or creator. At the time I would have called it God, when I was outside. And I just thought, I mean, the churches are calming, don't get me wrong, but it's just the priest would like make you feel guilty every week for not doing whatever it was you were supposed to be doing. And then as I got older, I'd look at the other religions that were around my town, which weren't many, but I would say, oh, they're not allowed to dance and they have to wear like long skirts and grow their hair out. So how do I know I'm following the right rules?
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. Like, who decides what these rules are? So I was kind of always questioning it from the beginning. I went to college. I got a job out of college. And I kind of started stepping away from the church in college, but I got a job out of college in Chicago for Arthur Andersen, which was the company that was the accounting firm for Enron. Do you remember the Enron mm-hmm. scandal?
Oh, yeah. I know the company, so, too.
Okay, yeah. So I was there. I wasn't there. I was there about a year before that happened, because that happened within 3 months of 9/11.
Yeah.
That all happened in the same 3 month period. So I was really disillusioned by that, because I thought, I got this job because it's going to be super secure, and this is what everyone else was doing that I went to college with, and you know, everybody that I went to school with moved to Chicago. So that, while that was falling apart, we stopped getting work. So I was like sitting around at the office doing nothing for hours on end, which was kind of fun actually. But I really decided, okay, I want to do something that's more helpful to people. So I decided to go back to school to become a high school Spanish teacher.
Yeah.
And I thought, there's some job security right there, because there aren't, like, foreign language teachers are hard to come by usually. So I did that. I enjoyed it. At first, it's a lot of work. I did that for about 8 years. And then I got to this point. Well, let me just stop. In 2007, I did my yoga teacher training. Sort of like a pat on the head, like, hey, you could do something else with your life. Well, I went back. I did like a three-week program. And then I went back to my regular job as a teacher. And I was teaching yoga and seeing all these other people having these different experiences, like not working a 9-to-5 job. And after about 2 years of that, I got this really strange food allergy. It kind of came on out of nowhere. I felt like I had food poisoning off and on for probably about, well, off and on, period. And so since my dad is a doctor, I had him order a blood test for me. And I had all of these foods that were off the charts. And my eosinophil count was at 58. So for any medical people out there, they know that's insane. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be between 0 and 8. It's one of the white blood cells. It's actually really dangerous to have it at that high of a level for a long time. So I stopped eating the foods on the blood test list. And then I went to what I call a skin prick allergy doctor, where they test you by pricking all of these things into your skin. And he's going through all of these foods that I shouldn't be eating, saying, most of these you'll be able to eat eventually, but you're never going to be able to have eggs again. Mm. And I was sort of paralyzed by this whole experience, but I heard this really loud no in my head, sort of almost outside of myself, it felt like. And so I love brunch. So American brunch, like, the top. So I left that appointment, cried for a while, and then decided, I am not going to live my life like this. I refuse to live like this. So I started asking my yoga friends and went to my first energy healer. And then I went to a NAIT practitioner, which is a type of allergy elimination technique using like, what do you call it? Chinese medicine needles.
Yeah.
Acupuncture needles. And and so after a few sessions of that, I pretty much cleared most of it. I started to feel better. Now I can eat. I'm eating whatever I want. I can eat eggs. It took a little while to get there, but it really started me down this journey of having to listen to myself. I eventually quit my teaching job and I started doing yoga more full time and had these odds and ends kinds of jobs. And then eventually was working in a yoga studio with my best friend and the person that I host the podcast with, which I haven't talked too much about yet. We decided we didn't want to be living where we were living anymore, which was Indianapolis, Indiana at the time. And so we both together moved to Asheville, North Carolina to be in the mountains. And we started up a business together and we called it It's You Guru. And we did that for just about 3 years. And last fall, we decided it wasn't working. We weren't able to really be ourselves, be our own gurus, because we were trying to accommodate each other. So now we're taking our own, what we want to be doing separately and putting them into our own websites, our own businesses. And now I really feel like finally everything that I've done for the last decade has all come together, because I ended up getting my Reiki master. I was training people in Reiki for a while. I taught, back when I was teaching, I taught 3 summers in Northern Spain in a study abroad program. So I really got my Spanish fluent doing that. And now I just, and the card story. So how I found out about the cards, in 2014, we took a girls trip out to Boulder, Colorado, and went to get a psychic reading. And the woman pulls out this book and she says, you're the Six of Clubs. And I couldn't believe it, because I'd always played cards when I was young. I loved playing cards. And in the Midwest, you play euchre. So that's what I was used to playing, but solitaire and any card game. And so after that reading, I went home and I bought all the books that I could find and started studying. And then I kept thinking, well, I should reach out to that woman and see if she would train me. And I kept having that thought for probably about 3 weeks, but I was like, oh, I don't know where the card is that that she gave me. I guess I could call the store and try to find her that way. And I just was kind of not getting it together. And then I was digging around in my wallet one day and something fell out, and I bent down onto the floor and picked it up, and it was her card. And so I was like, okay, I looked up to the sky. I was like, okay, I got it. I reached out to her. She was just starting a class.
Wow.
And so we, I started training with her, and then I worked with her to create a lot of the content that we now have for the cards. And so for now we have a course for every single card.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can really dive in deep to the whole system, to understand the system, to understand the relationships, to understand yourself, your purpose. The cards can tell you about your life purpose. It's not as specific as you think.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell you about your, like, the challenges, the obstacles that you have to overcome and things like that. So this, what I'm doing now is wrapping up that idea that I had to decide for myself back then what was right for me, and that I wasn't going to listen to this man standing in front of me in this white coat and take that prognosis and run with it. And I think we do that a lot. And I don't know if you've seen the documentary, the Heal documentary. Mm-hmm. They talk about it in there. When you go get the diagnosis from the doctor, which is one thing, but then the prognosis is a totally different thing.
Yeah.
And it's so much in our power to decide how we want to go forward. But it's really hard to listen to those people in power, the priests, the doctors, even my own dad. And I'm like, no, dad, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm getting a Reiki, I'm getting energy healing. I'm not living like this. So it's that inner power to make your own decisions, no matter what everyone else is saying, tied together with working with the cards, which is just, I think, many, many past lives of me having worked with the cards, and bringing that all together into this one package.
That is awesome. I think it is in our power to decide what we want. I think that's the beauty of the human experience, that, as I mentioned on the onset, the programmers don't want you to know about it. And so when we stand before the people that the programmers are saying to us are the professionals, those are the doctors, the others, all the other people, and they give you this diagnosis and so forth. They said, this is what's wrong with you. I personally believe that we are energy, and we are housed in this body that we are placed here. And when we, emotions, I believe, are thoughts that we rehearsed over and over and over again, that once it's not dealt with, it then crystallizes within the energy and manifest in the body somewhere. We call it whatever we want to call it, and it's labeled by many diseases that are out there, cancer and all the others. But that is an energy that has not been an emotional aspect. And when you begin to start to deal with that piece, that energy, that emotional energy, and release it from your body, it's amazing how you get healed. I tell people this all the time, or I say to them, the reason why you are going around in circles is because you haven't decided your statement of faith. What do you want? It is a very simple question, but it's a profound question when it comes to the individual human spirit, because we have been placed in a society that really doesn't tell us about that. You know, they just say, go to work, go to school, get the job, get a job, get married, get the kids, get the White House, the house with picket fence, and all is happily ever after. And then you die. I'm like, wow, that's really a beautiful life.
that sounds like fun.
Terrifying in so many levels. Man, I can't even go into it. But none of them tell us about standing up for the self. And your state, and I always tell people, if you look at people and you listen to their story, they will always tell you their statement of faith, what they believe. And you said it. You said to them, no. And that was a choice. You can accept what they say, or you can listen to what they say. And at that moment, you and I have a choice that is very important, because everything is waiting to hear your decision. And based on that decision at that moment, it will then, the adjustment will happen. Because I believe you and I are energy. And when we speak, we are releasing energy. And since a human is energy, when you release your words, you are then calling the people into your space that will provide you a walk you through the journey that you just declared when you said no. And so you made that statement, you send out the energy, and that energy now is searching, finding people that will bring into your life to line up with your belief system in order to get to your desired outcome. And so that's why I love to hear people's story, because I'm always listening for that one nugget there, because what it does, Lord, it dictates the path of your life. And so Here you are, you made your declaration and you said no. And now I tell people, your statement of faith without works is dead. You're going to die unless you put in the work to go study, to find, to get the stuff. That's the fun part. So talk to me about the fun part, Laura. After you made this statement and you go and you start finding those friends of yours, those energies that you aligned with and started to seek out, you talked about acupuncture, you got all the different other tools that are necessary in order to help you fulfill your desired outcome that you spoke to that man in that white suit. Talk to some of the people about that.
Well, the first thing I did was a friend of mine, a yoga teacher friend of mine, said she knew of an energy healer. And so I went to her, and just in that space, and I didn't really know anything about this at all, but I went into that space and I could just felt like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So, and she just kind of, you know, was helping me get out of my head and get back more into my body. And then she sent me to the allergy elimination technique doctor. Mm-hmm. And he says, he looks like looks like Santa Claus. B is a retired anesthesiologist who does this work. He says, you know, you don't need me. You can heal yourself.
Yeah.
And introduces me to Louise Hay's You Can Heal Yourself book. Yeah. And then tells me about the paintings of the aliens inside the pyramids in Egypt. And so I went to a psychic reading around that time as well. And this woman says to me, have you ever heard of the planetary shift and change that you might call the ascension? Mm-hmm. So I started searching that and found other channelers and healers that I went to, some of them remote actually. And then from there, I started studying Reiki. And I had mentioned earlier that you're in Thailand right now. My Reiki teacher actually learned her Reiki. She's British, but she was in Thailand at the time. And then she came to Indiana, and that's who I learned Reiki from. So I studied that for several years. And then she passed that on to me. So I was teaching Reiki as well. Mm-hmm. And part of that process was really learning how to trust my intuition when I would get insights for people during a session.
Yeah.
And then have it confirmed. That external, I think, confirmation is helpful. And that's one of the things that I do with my trainings, is give people practices so that they can feel in their body what it feels like to get a confirmation, and they can get external confirmations. Because in learning to trust myself, it was, first of all, there's like this aspect of a deep knowing. Mm-hmm. So kind of what you were talking about earlier, which was, you know, we're energy, we just shift and change.
Yeah.
There's part of me that just knew that there's no such thing as permanent.
Yeah.
So when I heard that you're never going to eat eggs again, there's part of me that just knows never again is just, I mean, unless you're making that choice for yourself, mm-hmm. it's nothing that anyone can impose upon you. So that really connected into my like core, kind of the knowledge that I came with when I was born. And so I was teaching people Reiki and getting these pieces of information for them, and then having it confirmed by other people. And that solidifies more and more your ability to kind of trust your own choices and trust what it is you're deciding to do. And so then I was working at this yoga studio with my friend who owned the studio, training people in Reiki, teaching yoga. And she had someone reach out to her, a business coach. And this person was extremely psychic and also maybe more on the control side of things. Mm-hmm. So we worked with him for about 6 months. But the beginning of that, she felt like she was, we signed a contract with him. She felt she was signing a contract with the devil. And I knew in my soul of souls that this was just going to vanish. He was going to vanish from our lives one day without any kind of kerfuffle or any kind of problem. And I didn't share that with her. But we did 6 months with him. And we did a lot of inner work on ourselves working with him. Mm-hmm. But it was sort of like, in the long run for me, it felt like it was a really important experience. Yeah. And it was really teaching me to learn how to trust myself more. And a lot of the things that we learned from that and that he would say about our futures are actually coming true now. So it was just this big, huge growth experience. And I, from before working with him to after working with him, I felt so much lighter when it was all done. It felt really heavy while it was happening. But then when it was done, I did, in the moment I said, I don't want to work with him anymore, the energy shifted immediately. And I felt like I jumped to such a lighter state of being from that experience. And we walked the Camino and during that time, and just having that kind of silent period to reflect, and the draw of energy, because the Camino in Spain is from medieval times. I mean, it's over 1,000 years old. So there's been all of this history of people walking one direction towards Santiago, and you can kind of feel the energy pull you as you walk. And walking one direction is so different than having to make a loop like we normally do. And if you've never, if you don't know much about it, Shirley MacLaine has a great book called The Camino. She walked it in the 90s, and this is her story about it. And there's also a movie you can rent on, I think, like YouTube or something, with Martin Sheen called The Way, where it's also about the Camino, to give you kind of a better idea of what it's about. But so it's a really kind of spiritual experience, and that ability to take that quiet time and tune in was really important for me at that time. So that was 2018. Later that fall, we decided to, we moved to Asheville. And then in the, you know, early 2019, we started our business, and it really took us a long time to adjust to the energy here. So we were spending a lot of time hiking, getting our business going. And then of course, about a year later, COVID hit, and that changed everything again. And so it's really just been this, we've just been practicing on each other and practicing with our business and playing around with getting intuitive information and doing intuitive readings for each other, and really kind of digging into what's the pattern that I'm still holding, what's the belief that I still have around this, and almost like investigating and nitpicking into those beliefs, because they're so nuanced. And they are so, they're so, if you've been living with it, you can't really
see it.
Until you have someone point it out to you.
They call our, we call it your scotomas, your blind side. You're not able to see that at all. And that's why I always say to people, when someone comes into your space, learn to recognize who they are, what they're there for, how long they're there for. You can, from conversations, you can understand their purpose. But those that are there, and most of them will come to make you aware of a blind side of scotoma. And when you are immature like myself, I used to cuss them out when they would point it out to me. I would use gifted language to express myself as to why I thought they ought to just move on. But as I grew as an individual, I recognized their purpose. And so I always welcome that, because that gives me an opportunity to grow, because I know if someone points something out to me and say, hey, I've noticed this, I'm like, wow, good, because I didn't notice it. I need that information. And I would always say to them, I will then place that at the forefront of my thoughts. Some people would look at me like I just lost my mind. But I would take that information and I would put it to bring it to a place so I don't tuck it away and miss the opportunity for growth. And so I put it in the forefront of my thought because I wanted to take it, and then I would go into a place of meditation. And I tell people meditation is a place that you use the terminology quietness. That's what meditation is, a space of quietness. It is the place by which you and I reconnect with our power. We get busy in living that we don't know how to live. And you have to be in a space of quietness. That's why the system, the world doesn't want you and I to be quiet, because it is a place of power. That's why they have 24-hour TV, all kinds of crazy stuff. They'll keep you on your phone. You know, everything is buzzing. And they have this frequency that the human spirit wasn't designed to be there. The human spirit is designed to be in a frequency lower than that, that gather power. Because once we then receive the power, like Jesus did, he used to get up and walk and heal people and walk on water and all that kind of stuff. But now you and I, we don't need to walk on water. We need to take that energy and create miracles in learning who we are. And as we become a better student of ourselves and recognizes those energy that are repeating, it is an investigative lifestyle. It's an honor to be there, I tell people. It's an honor to be in that space of an investigative lifestyle, because you are then peeling away the years of programming by other people and yourself to recognize when you line up some of those programs and belief systems that doesn't line up with something deeper. And you can always tell the difference, Lauren. Isn't it weird how when you dig deep and you feel this and it has this little, it's not right, where it's this belief system, but something deeper, it rubs against it. And that's when I knew it's something that is out of alignment, as they say, alignment, that needs a further investigation. I love your journey. It's beautiful. It really is. It's interesting how you gravitated to the spiritual realm through the entrance of meditation and yoga and stuff like that, and how you move into all the other aspects of it. Because I tell people, unless you get into the spiritual realm, you don't know who you are, because you're missing the greatest part of yourself. The one that has all the answers that you will need to get out of the stuff that you got yourself in, your natural mind got you into. It's only your spiritual part of you. We call it different things, getting in touch with our heart, getting in touch with all that different things. But it is that it's that part of us that no man has learned how to manipulate yet.
Right.
And I think you and I, as we pay attention to that part of us, I would hate to live in the world, to be honest with you, Laura, where mankind have learned how to manipulate the spirit. We know how to manipulate the five senses. Those types of mankind do that all day long, and we know how to. But the spirit part of us, no one has learned that, and I hope to God they never do, because we'd be a mess. I don't know how we'll come out. So here are you in this place. You're growing and tremendously. I mean, I love you. You're searching and you're digging and pulling away. You are learning about yourself. COVID hits. So how did you respond to this new entrance into mankind that is visiting us here in light of your personal growth, first of all, and then how it affect your business aspect?
Well, personally, it's actually funny, because right after we finished working with that coach in 2018, I really wasn't doing much of anything, because it was a lot of unwinding, and I was actually doing a lot of puzzling and coloring at that time. So it was almost like, oh, I've already been here.
Yeah.
And I always stayed really optimistic, like, oh, this will be done soon. It's going to be over soon. But the longer it went on, I felt that it was just really purposeful and really important for us to experience that as a planet. And it was asking so many people to look inside of themselves and get quiet and take that time out. But I didn't really have too much of a reaction to it, actually. I felt very kind of aligned with the understanding of what was happening and what needed to happen. And then as for the business, we would just use that time to really experiment and play around with what we liked to do and what we didn't like doing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of on the bigger scale, that's what's really important, right? To figure out who you really are and what you really want, as you brought up earlier, you need to experiment. Sometimes you need to just try things out and say, oh, well, actually, I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, sometimes I think you can kind of project yourself into that without even have to even doing it. You can almost like imagine yourself doing it and get the answer. And that's kind of one of the things that I like to teach, is imagine yourself going to the restaurant that you dislike the most and feel what that feels like. And then imagine yourself going to your favorite restaurant and feel what that feels like. And you can start to get that baseline between the constriction or the kind of, I always feel it as like a closing in energy, and the expansion and the excitement or the like joy or the freedom energy. And it's really kind of finding I think what we're doing here is trying to be as free as we possibly can. And I think COVID gave a lot of people permission to say, actually, I hated doing that.
Yeah.
And so now I'm not going to do it anymore. And to kind of break some of those structures in their life that they were living that they just didn't enjoy. And so I was really kind of observing the whole thing while it was happening.
I think that was the purpose of it. It was a judgment upon the system. And it gave us an opportunity to reflect inwards, because people couldn't go to work. In many cases, people were unhooked from the busyness, which caused them and forced them in many ways to look within. And the ones mm-hmm. that were in tune to that, inclined towards the mm-hmm. sensitive aspect of the human experience, began to make the changes. There are those that were a little more on the dark side, that those darkness manifested in that as well. So it gave an opportunity to show and to expose and to give opportunities. And I think it shifted from the people, then it gave businesses an opportunity to look at their system and the value of the employee. And then I believe that what we are witnessing now with the onset of the wars and the intensities of those different global changes is now it's giving the leaders an opportunity for them also to make the decisions as to what is intrinsic to the human experience, what is true, what is false. And so we have an opportunity, I believe, as global citizens to change and grow and do all the wonderful things that are necessary for the purposeful living of this human race. And so we'll see how it all pans out, because we're still in the midst of it. And I believe, I don't know what it's going to be, but I know it has awoken many people. This movement that is quietly buzzing, that no one is paying attention to, is going to overrun them in a short time. Laura, I want to thank you for coming to Threads of Enlightenment. I can go on and on and on, but I really appreciate what you have done, and you've trusted us with your story. It's a powerful one. Anyone and everyone that is listening, I want you to get in touch with Laura. Listen to her podcast. Get into that trip she's putting together, so that you can learn who you are, guys. She talks about this identity of who you are. This woman will be able to help you to recognize that and move you through. And so it is with honor that I thank you for coming, and I send everyone to her. Lord, take them to the next level, girl.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, honestly, for coming by Threads of Enlightenment.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
No.